Hello, my name is Edgar King, and I am the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you. Before, good to see more new faces. Well, not like in this season. People have joined us again for the first time after a long time. Karibuni sana. So I want to invite us to a different way to worship right before I do the talk. I invite you to give. Giving is part of how we worship. Giving is part of how we train our hearts to be free of the hold money can often have on the lives of people. Oh, wait. Having a lot of things to adjust today. And giving is definitely part of the things we've been called to as disciples of Jesus. So if you call this your church home, if you believe in what God is doing in this place and in this city through this church, I invite you to give. So our giving information, we encourage you to give via M-Pesa in this season, so 193-399. But if you're in the room and you're still using cash, there's the brown box at the back. If you're at home or not even within the country, please contact us and we'll give you whatever information you need. I'm going to take a moment, just pray and catch my breath, if that's okay. Lord, you're here. And I pray that I become present to that. In Jesus' name. So, let's bring the conversations we've been having the last few weeks to a wrap. We've been talking about bringing the realities of our lives into conversations with Jesus. So we've journeyed through different things that have become so real to us this year. So we talked about, and my call has been, that our hearts will be as alive as the conversations we are having with Jesus. If those conversations are real, our hearts will be alive to that extent. If we're not having conversations about reality with Jesus, we won't be alive. What are the real things that are happening? Let's be present to those and bring them into conversations with Jesus. And you know, so we've talked about things like anxiety, fear, anger and irritability. The feeling of needing to hide behind a mask and loneliness. And last weekend we talked about grief. All these things, I have invited us to become present to them, not deny them, and bring them into conversation with Jesus, because that will determine how alive our hearts will be. Now, the interesting thing is, those feelings have become intense this year, because this year has had a lot of change. We've been going through a lot of change in just a short span of time. And people don't like change, you know, because it brings us to the awareness that life is uncertain. People don't like change because it tells us that we're not in control. Change is uncomfortable, yet change is constant. It's the one thing that won't fail to happen. Things will keep changing. The universe is expanding. That means it's changing. You know, so that's, you know, even science, things in the scientific world keep changing. You know, just for example, this whole thing the world has been dealing with, every morning you wake up to new scientific information about COVID-19. Things keep changing. Our country is going through conversations about what do we do with our very short-lived constitution. Things keep changing. It just hit me this morning that we're very far away. We're kind of far from the next election, but it already feels like we're going to the ballot tomorrow. C- Because, you know, politicians are having rallies, they're bickering everywhere. Things are changing politically in this country. Well, for our friends in the U.S., things are changing in November. Because whether Trump keeps the White House or doesn't, things will definitely be different. Things are changing everywhere. Politically, things are changing. In the church world, things are also changing. You know, there are very important conversations happening all across the world about race relations. And the church cannot avoid that conversation because now the church has to seriously have that conversation. How do we lead our communities through these things? There's a picture that some of you might have seen online about. So it was an artistic impression of what Jesus might have looked like by some Dutch guy. And it started conversations in the church world of whether the race of Jesus Christ actually matters. So change is happening even in the church. You know, there have been conversations about whether the church should be involved with social justice. And if so, how? Things are changing. You know? We're living through a moment of change. Every second, just something new is happening. And change is not always a bad thing. Because it could mean something is becoming better. Some of these important conversations, I think, mean we could become better if we handle them correctly. So change is not always a bad thing. You know, because something could be growing. Nonetheless, change makes us anxious. And sometimes, when things are changing, it could mean something is decaying, something is dissociating, something is becoming worse. Change could happen in either direction, but whichever direction it's happening, change makes us anxious. Because we become so aware of how not in control we are. Yet, it's almost one of the things humanity keeps trying to do is make sure they're building ways to control things. We want to control time, we want to control the economy, we want to control our lives. So change always makes us aware that we're not in control. So that makes us anxious. And when we become anxious, we feel all those things that we talked about the last few weeks. Anger, loneliness, anxiety, all these things that, oh my word. And so we've been talking about let's bring them into conversation with Jesus. But if change is a constant, where does that leave us? Because I really am convinced that human beings are wired to look for stability. It's, you know, it's captured in the way we talk about relationships, for example, because human beings are relational. People talk about, oh, they want a stable relationship, you know? Or when they talk about their family, when we talk about our families, all the characteristics we could give them, we often just narrow them down to, oh, it was a stable family or an unstable family. Something inside us longs for stability. Something inside us longs for something unchanging. When people are looking for jobs, they talk about, I want to be financially stable. I'm looking for a stable job. Why? Inadvertently, what we are saying is, everything around us keeps changing. I am desperately looking for the one thing that won't change so that I can anchor myself in it. Everything around us is changing so fast. I just desperately need a relationship to anchor myself in. I just desperately need a family to anchor myself in. I just desperately need a stable job to anchor myself in. Change makes us anxious. And we are wired desperately to look for something unchanging. And so this year has been those interesting ones, because things keep changing this year faster than other years, you know? Now the challenge is, I think, as we search for things to anchor ourselves in, we often make the same mistake over and over again. We anchor ourselves again in things that will change. So we define ourselves with our jobs, with our relationships, with the countries we come from. You know, hey, talk about, is this a stable economy or an unstable economy? Is this country stable politically or unstable politically? We often define ourselves by those things. We end up anchoring ourselves in those things, yet they will change. That's the one thing I think we often keep getting wrong. We're wired to look for something that will not change,
And as we desperately grapple with life, we end up anchoring our identity and the future of our souls in relationships. And guess what? Even the best people to be around, they change. Hopefully they change for the better, because that means they're growing. But whether they change for the better, change makes us anxious. We end up anchoring ourselves in our jobs. Guess what? They change. It grows, or sometimes it shrinks. You know, we end up anchoring ourselves in our national identities. Guess what? Even stable countries sometimes get weird and look unstable, or actually just show how unstable they've been. We end up anchoring ourselves, anchoring our identity in the political parties that we support. Guess what? Those change. Over time, generations come and they're not the same thing. Or even just in a year, things could change in political parties. So if we are wired to look for the unchanging, because in advance, essentially what we're saying is, everything around me is changing so fast. I need something to anchor my soul in. I need somewhere to anchor my future in. I need someone to anchor my identity in. So what do we do then? And so today I want to, as we close that conversation, I want to start a new one about where are the places we could anchor ourselves. And I'll just start with, we can anchor ourselves, we can plant our souls, our identity, and our future in God, who is unchanging. We can trust in God, who is unchanging. I'm going to read some verses out for you. Psalm 103:17. But the unfailing love of the eternal is always and eternal. For those who reverently run after him, he extends his justice on and on to future generations. The nature of God himself is just like God, eternal and unchanging. The nature of God himself, everything about God, all the characteristics that are of God are just like God himself, unchanging and eternal. We can trust in that. We can trust that he will be faithful, and not just to this generation, to the generations that are coming. Because he's faithful to us, just like we saw him faithful to generations before us. So God won't just remain the same in this season. Even when this is over, we shall still be able to say God is faithful, God is unchanging. And guess what? The world will deal with something else sometime. Hopefully not in our lifetime again, but something else will come up. But guess what? Even then, God will be unchanging. He is who he says he is. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. Because you know, when I was younger, I didn't think Nakuru would change much. I probably knew it, knew whatever area of Nakuru I was used to, and I thought that was it. But guess what? Even the landforms in this city keep changing. We are living in the Rift Valley, and that is always, always deepening. So even the landforms keep changing. The oceans we think we have seen, they're not in the same place as they were whenever the last time you were at the coast was. Why? The ocean levels are rising. Many years ago, they weren't even where we thought they were. I saw pictures of Lake Nakuru. It used to be farther inland, whatever inland means for lake, and it's also changing. Rivers form and rivers drop. Even landforms, because sometimes you can think, well, this is solid, I can trust in this. Even those change, but guess what? God has remained the same. Whether you're trying to decide how the world was formed, you know, so even before the conversation about landforms, so whether for you it is the Big Bang Theory or you know, just whatever else. Whatever it is, even before that, God was and is and will always be. And you know, if you're watching and you're agnostic or atheist, or if you're in here and you're agnostic or atheist, I think somehow you may agree with me that Should there be a God? Should you ever come to a place where you're like, okay, I think there is a God. Should there be a God? He has to have been the same, even before time itself started. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You know what that says to me is, even beautiful things like flowers, if you find flowers beautiful, let's not just assume that's everyone. But even beautiful things like flowers, because I find some flowers beautiful, even those fade. Which makes for good business, because then you have to buy new ones. And that was a great joke, but yeah, we're doing better. Okay, we're back to church. So, even beautiful things fade. Even beautiful things fade. And I don't know if you value grass, but let's assume grass is, you know, because in a lot of places in Kenya, or at least in Nakuru, you see grass. And so sometimes it's one of those things that are just there, we don't value them much. Even the things that are just there, they don't fail to be there, guess what? They also fade, because it dies. Wait until January is here. And most of those grass patches will be the reason Nakuru got its name, white dust. Things change, but guess what? God remains the same. This is my personal favorite. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob, and read there, you and me, that is why we are not already destroyed. The reason humanity is going on despite the changes we're experiencing is because God remains the same. Essentially, it answers the question of our souls. Because we are saying, essentially, that things are changing around us so fast. Can we anchor ourselves somewhere? Because if these changes continue, they will overwhelm me. And what is God saying? Yes, I am the Lord and I do not change. Hey, politics are changing so fast in this country. It's overwhelming. God, can I really not be overwhelmed? And God is saying, I am the Lord and I do not change. God, whatever science we thought made sense, they've come out with new stuff. I am the Lord and I do not change. Lord, I knew this person and today he or she is different. I don't even know who I married. She has changed. He has changed. This might overwhelm me, and God looks at you and says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. God, when I was growing up, jobs were easy to find in this city, and now there are no jobs. Things are changing so fast. Even the job I do, really, how do I do it in this season? Will it still be there after this season? And God looks at you and says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. We're somehow wired to look for something unchanging. And God keeps saying, you can anchor yourself in me because I am the Lord and I do not change. And that is why you will not be overwhelmed. That is why you will not be destroyed. And, you know, here's the thing. Things look terrible. sorry? Okay. Things look terrible. So, I'm looking for this climate, yes. Climate news is terrible each day. And I don't think that's untrue. And I think humanity needs to do something. Yet I have some hope that even though the climate changes, God remains, and so we have hope for tomorrow. So, a pastor friend of mine called Adam says, this is what we mean when we say God does not change. Just in case we're wondering, what do we mean when we're saying God does not change? This is what I mean. He does not mature. Like, grow up. No, he does not mature. He does not dissipate. He does not dissolve. You know, we won't get into a situation where finally God just becomes nothing. You know? He does not grow. In a constantly changing world, God is constant and God is true. So the world can keep changing. Situations around you can keep changing. Governments can keep changing. But his character is sure, his character is true, he is trustworthy. But then how do we know the unchanging nature of God? What can we look to? Where can we find what to anchor our souls in? It's one thing to just say, well, God is unchanging, but how can we see the unchanging nature of God? And I like what we're taught about Jesus, what we see in Jesus' life himself. It's a spitting image of God. If we want to know the nature of the unchanging God, we can trust in what we see in Jesus Christ. He is the spitting image of the Father. He comes to show us who the Father is. In Jesus, we get to know who God is. So I dare say you can trust in Jesus. There's a writer of a letter in the Bible. He writes this in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, the Anointed One, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't just like you. God loves you, and that won't change with your changing situations. God doesn't just like you, God loves you, and that won't change when you change, whether that means growth or whether that means you're becoming something not too desirable. God doesn't just like this country, he loves it, he finds it beautiful. He finds the wild animals so beautiful. He finds the people of this country so beautiful, and that won't change no matter who sits in State House. We can sink our roots, we can anchor ourselves in Jesus the Anointed One because he is a spitting image of the unchanging Father. And therefore, I think the invitation to follow Jesus is the invitation to plant ourselves in God. The invitation to follow Jesus is invitation to meet what our souls have longed for anyway, something unchanging. We're being invited to meet someone unchanging. We're being invited to meet the character of God that is unchanging. We're being invited to encounter the one who could sustain us. So how do you plant yourselves? How do we anchor our souls in the unchanging God? It won't happen by accident. We won't just wake up and we are planted in the right place. We're not weeds. You know, weeds just kind of wake up. Well, but even for them, you know, different weeds grow in different places. You know, it's like plants. They don't just appear one day. We have to intentionally plant what we want in our shamba where we want it. Right? Even for our souls, we won't just find ourselves anchored in Jesus. It's a journey we have to intentionally take. That's why his invitation has always been the same. You follow me. God, but the world is changing. You follow me. God, but evil people seem like they're prospering. You follow me. God, we're not sure if we have jobs tomorrow and you follow me. Will I be alive tomorrow? Well, you follow me. The invitation is the same because in Jesus we can find the unchanging to anchor our souls in. You know? And again, just to go back to plants. For plants to grow in the right place, we have to do two things. We have to get rid of things that could choke them, or smother them, like weeds and pests and parasites. And then we have to also give it the right nutrients. Two important things. Get rid of things that could choke it and put in things that will make it come alive. It's the same thing with our souls. We have to intentionally get rid of things that will choke us and intentionally pour into us, ourselves, things that give us life. You know, for example, we are a product of our time, both our past and the current time, you know? So So the way our parents raised us is either choking us or giving us life. We have to be intentional about how we deal with that stuff. We have to sometimes go back there and decide, this isn't giving me life, and get rid of it. You know, our history as a people, it shapes us right now. And we won't just wake up one morning and Kenya has no tribal history. We have to intentionally go back there and get rid of that stuff. Especially starting with ourselves. Because sometimes we clamor on TV. You know, accidentally, NTV was in your area and they put a microphone in your face and you just said, wow, tribalism is bad, and that's true. But are you actively rooting it out here? Because if you can't fix it here, you can't fix the system, you can't fix the world, you can't fix people, can't fix anything. So it has to start with us. Our history as a people shapes us. We have to go back there and intentionally root out some of that stuff that would choke the life in us. We're product of our present. See, what the world is going through, what we're going through right now, will shape us. And so we have to be intentional, and that's why we took, I think, 5 weeks talking about being present to our reality and bringing it into conversation with Jesus. Because the anger that was sparked in this season, if you're not intentional about not letting it sit in there, it'll shape who you are. It'll choke the life Jesus is bringing. The grief that you've had to endure, if you're not careful about actually going through it and dealing with it, it will shape who you come out as. It will shape what life you're doing now. The turning inward into loneliness that felt right in this season, even though you know you needed community, if you don't intentionally get out and meet community, it will shape who you're becoming. It will choke the life in you. That's why we did that conversation for 5 whole weeks, being present to our reality and bringing it into conversation with Jesus. We have to be aware of our culture. Sadly, nothing in our culture naturally invites us to life. Culture has this weird habit of drawing us to the edge, just to the edge, and then just castigate you once you cross the line. Culture has this weird habit of just inviting us to just, let's see, how much is too much? It's the one question that you hear among Christians so much. How far can I go? How much is too much? You know what that is? It's just in our culture. And culture baits you to the very edge. Yeah, I think you can come up to here. I think, and the moment you cross the line, it castigates you. Oh my word, what have you done? So we have to be intentional about what in our culture is shaping us. Because all these things are trying to shape us. You know? We have to be careful about what in our culture is shaping our ideas of sex, alcohol, politics, tribalism, consumerism, all these things. Culture has something to say about them. And so many other things, spirituality. Culture has something to say about it. We have to be intentional about what forces we choose to shape us. And that's a question of, how are you intentionally spending your time and your resources? Because the things you completely give yourself to will shape you. Social media has a philosophy behind it. Let's not assume it won't shape us. So when we're scrolling down Facebook, and you know, it's become so good at realizing what things you often click on, and so it brings you a lot more of that. That is actually shaping you. The music we listen to, and I'm saying it's this or that, that is actually shaping us. Because every time, as someone who sometimes writes songs when I'm feeling too good or terrible, I go into the studio with something coming from my heart. That will actually shape us. It's the reason I will choose the words I will choose to put in that song. I intentionally choose the words I want to speak here. That will actually shape things. The philosophies behind the TV stations we pay attention to will actually shape us. Where we spend our money will shape us. It's just like, no, let that go. So we have to be very intentional about where we're spending our time. Yet just like plants, it's not just about uprooting the bad. You could get rid of weeds and pests and parasites, but that is not enough. We have to pour in the good stuff. Actually, I have noticed that if you spend all your time just focusing on not trying to do bad things, you do a lot of bad things. If you spend your entire time, the idea isn't to focus on sin, the idea is to focus on Jesus. The idea isn't to completely keep thinking about, I will not go onto Facebook today, I will not go onto Facebook, I will. The idea isn't that. The idea is to completely shift our focus to the unchanging, to Jesus Christ. I want to call the band back as I finish. So it's not just about being aware of the forces around us that are trying to shape us. It's about intentionally anchoring ourselves in Jesus. You know, being aware of the negative forces, being aware of the things that happened back when you're, I don't know what, being aware of the things that are happening in our culture that could shape us, that's good. And we need to be present to that and bring that into conversation with Jesus. But that is just a small portion of it. The bigger portion really is focusing our eyes on Jesus. Here's how Paul, that same guy who wrote the letter I read earlier, here's how he puts it. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. That's where our hope is. To focus solely on God. And this season might have brought out in you things you didn't think were in there. This season might have made you deal with things you thought you had dealt with, and they reared their heads again. Here's what Jesus is inviting us to. Don't spend all day focusing on that. Focus on me. Focus on me. I know it could feel overwhelming. I know it could feel like you've lost your way. I know it could feel like sometimes you even think you're no longer following Jesus. And Jesus is saying, stop focusing on that. Keep your eyes on me. I'll just read that again. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And I like this word, and fasten. That's technically the same word we use when we're putting on our seatbelt. It's got to happen intentionally. Well, I think we're moving into the future where you might just sit in your car and it happens on its own. But until then, I can use this picture. You get into the car and you intentionally fasten your seatbelt. It's the same thing we have to do with our thoughts. We have to continually lift them from all the places of chaos and fasten them on the glorious work of God, praising Him always. One of the things I kept saying during the 5 weeks is that I find it interesting how writing psalms is a good idea. When you're angry, write a psalm. Before you deal, just write a psalm. David does a lot of that. There's so many psalms where he's just angry. When you're grieving, write a psalm. David does a lot of that. Something interesting about all those psalms, as he becomes present to what is going on in him, he always finishes with lifting his eyes back to God. But you, O Lord, but I will trust you, O Lord. That's the kind of thing we're being told here. Become present and intentionally lift yourself from there to focusing on God. And how that looks like, some of it, reminds me of the conversations we've had around Pentecost. It looks like devotion to community. Yes, it feels so good to withdraw inward, but you're destroying yourself. It looks like devotion to generosity. Yes, it feels like you don't have enough, but God is the one who provides. It feels like devotion to prayer. It is devotion to worship. It's devotion to following Jesus. It's devotion to doing the works of the kingdom. I think that's what it looks like if we're going to intentionally plant ourselves in God. So the band is going to sing shortly over you as I get ready to invite us into communion. So if you're at home, please get your cup and your bread ready.